I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back to the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Well, Ken Laird would like his column, his WEEI.com column today, addressed by Red Sox management. So joining us right now on the Harbor One hotline, it is the deputy baseball officer for the Boston Red Sox, Brian O'Halloran. Is that Brian? I mean, if Chaim is the chief baseball officer, you would be the deputy. Is that correct?
I think that's right. I kind of like that.
All right. Okay. I mean, general manager sounds so. I mean, it's basic. You got to get creative.
Yeah. No, I agree.
So Ken has written a column this morning. Ken, you want to start off this morning with Brian?
Well,
and
sure.
Just get an answer.
My column, Brian, is about Alex Cora. How he was such a perfect fit here, and I think he can be again. I'm sure you know. It's an awkward thing to discuss with somebody else currently inheriting that job. But the general question would be, looking back on the mutual parting of ways, has anything changed from the organization's point of view and how you guys feel about Alex Cora?
No. I mean, look, I worked with Alex for 2 years in his role as manager, and then, you know, of course, knew him from when he was a player. You know, I certainly have a ton of respect for Alex and what he did here. And he's a great friend. And I don't think anything has changed from where we stood when that all went down. But yeah, he's an incredible guy in many ways.
And when are you allowed to, if the Red Sox were to be interested in Alex coming back, when are you allowed to discuss that with him? Is that at the end of the season?
Well, let me answer that two ways. I mean, the sort of technical answer to your question regarding his suspension, I believe, is the end of the major league season, which includes playoffs. But that's not something that we're focused on, guys. I mean, we have a manager that we're happy with, which is Ron Renicki, and that's what we're focused on.
So Ken's column is ridiculous, is basically what you're saying.
Oh. I have not read his column.
Don't worry, nobody has.
Three people.
Ken didn't. He wrote it. He didn't even read it. certainly nice to get a win last night. I as you look at what's the trade deadline? August 31st. Are you guys constantly looking at when it comes to opportunities to improve this team, whether it ends up being from a pitching point of view or otherwise? Are you guys out there talking to other teams right now?
Yes, we are. I mean, that's definitely an ongoing process, like really all year round. Different, of course, at different times of the year, and such a strange year where what, you know, 2 weeks into the season and yet 3 weeks away from the trade deadline. So, so it is a strange year, but yeah, we are talking to other teams and always looking for opportunities to get better.
Brian, is there a hard line date on whether or not you'll decide whether you want to be sellers or buyers in the trade market?
No, I wouldn't necessarily, sum it up that way or look at it that way. It's more, we're going to look to get better. Certainly you're always looking to get better for this season. And of course we're also looking to make sure we do things that set us up better for the long run. what our record is at the time. You know, as we get closer, of course, that comes into play in terms of what you're, if as you said, if you're in it, you know, you're looking to add typically to, you know, give yourself a better chance this year. If you're not, then sure, you might look, you might approach the deadline differently. All those factors come into play, but I wouldn't say that there's a hard deadline mm-hmm. for deciding which direction to go, and or that you necessarily, that it's a sort of binary choice between buying and selling. There are different ways to approach the deadline that can kind of accomplish multiple things at once.
Brian, during this, you know, unprecedented time that we're living in, have you contacted other Boston front offices like Ainge or Sweeney or Belichick when it comes to how they've approached their roster building in this time? And if so, what was any of the conversations like?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I haven't personally spoken with any of those folks during this time. I do know that some of our during the shutdown when we were all kind of when we were unable to go to Fenway Park, we did have some meetings, some Zoom meetings. Some of our guys, our scouting guys, and scouting leadership had some calls with I know the Patriots and I believe maybe the Bruins as well. And our medical staff has had conversations, I think, with all the other teams, but not for me personally. But yeah, we have had conversations with the other teams.
Would you be a fan of? Some are suggesting that the playoffs should be bubbled. Would you be a fan of that? And do you think it's feasible for Major League Baseball to do that?
Yeah, I mean, it probably depends on, you know, kind of how things are going at the time. You know, in terms of community spread in various places and things like that. I mean, I think, you know, any choice you make along these lines, you know, we've learned has trade-offs, right? There's pros and cons to going in any particular direction, bubble, non-bubble, you know, multiple sites, you know, or the full, you know, playing in all the different cities that we've chosen to do. And there are pros and cons to that. And I think they'll have to look at that at the time and see what makes the most sense.
Have you talking to any of the like state and local officials about possibly at some point in time during the season, the possibility of having fans in the stadium?
So I don't know. I know that Sam Kennedy has expressed, you know, publicly, you know, the desire that, you know, ideally we would love to be able to have fans, of course, in Fenway Park if it's safe and possible. And I don't know the sort of what conversations have been had about that, but I do know that is a goal. Although we're also, you know, number one is going to be health and safety of everyone involved. So, you know, we would only do that if it were safe.
When it came to E-Rod shutting it down for the season, was that a team decision, player decision, joint decision? What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess call it a joint decision. I mean, ultimately, you know, player health, you know, it's the player's body. It, you know, of course, the player ultimately has to decide. But really, this one was an easy one from the standpoint of like anytime you're talking about the heart or any questions there, any issues there, you can't obviously mess around with it. And so once you know, the second MRI came back that, you know, we'd hoped it would show, you know, full healing. And E-Rod hoped that he would be able to get back on the field. He was really itching to get back on the field. But when it didn't, it was an easy call for us to make jointly that, you know, the right thing to do is to shut him down.
Alex Verdugo finally hit a homer last night. Brian, what are your thoughts on how he's fit in and how's post-Mookie life in general been with your outfielders?
Yeah, it was great to see Alex get his first home run, and he's such a, you know, energetic and positive guy. Like it's you know, and to see him starting to mix with his teammates, it's obviously been a difficult year for that type of thing, for new players to mix with their teammates, just by the nature of the pandemic and how the guys are spread out. And but he's definitely mixing, you know, getting right into the mix, and such an exciting young player. You know, he's one of those guys where there's a lot of reasons why I wish there were fans in the ballpark, but I think, you know, he's a guy that really feeds off the energy of the crowd, and it would be nice, and it will be nice when we have that opportunity for him to interact with our fans and for them to see him play on the field. And just as far as how our things are going in general, you know, we got a, you know, four guys that are getting the playing time in the outfield. They all bring good attributes to the table, and they're doing just fine. Obviously, some guys are, you know, have gotten off to better starts than others, but you know, they're all good players.
Being about a quarter of the way through this season, does it seem like a normal baseball season to you from an operations point of view, or does it still seem like a weird season?
I would say more of the latter. It's definitely a weird season. I mean, there are some things that are the same. Obviously, the game on the field is just about the same. Some minor tweaks there, but it did take a little while to get used to, you know, being in the ballpark without fans. The noise that they kind of pipe in actually does. I was a skeptic, to be honest, but it actually I kind of like it, and I think it makes you. Feel a little bit more like normal times when you have the sort of din of the crowd and the reaction. And so, but to answer your question, it is a weird season. There's no doubt about it. It's different. And there's a lot of things that we're, you know, dealing with on a daily basis that, you know, hopefully we never have to do so again.
After seeing the Marlins and the situation that they went through and then having to bring up, I believe it was like 7 or 8 guys, what's the process that you guys employ when you're dealing with kind of those minor league players that are sitting waiting in the wings but still trying to get them to understand that they could be called up at any point in time? What's the whole mindset, communication with those type of players?
Yeah, so, you know, we communicate, of course, with the guys that are with the big league team, and we also do the same thing with the guys at the alternate site that are, as you said, waiting in the wings. It's critical that those guys, you know, follow the protocols and stay healthy, because you just never know. We obviously, you know, try to do the best we can, and the players, you know, are doing the best they can and following the protocols. But this virus is unforgiving, and you know, anyone can have bad luck. Going to the grocery store or whatever it might be, or getting it from the family member or close contact. And even if you're following the protocols at the field, you know, anything can happen. So we just have to be prepared for that. And it's critical that we keep our alternate site guys healthy and ready to go just in case something bad happens.
All right, Brian, thank you for joining us to point out the lack of any kind of credibility in Ken's WEEI.com
well,
column
read it
today.
Yet. Wait till he reads it.
And go get him. All right, go get him. Thanks, Brian.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. That is Brian O'Halloran, who says they're not interested in Alex Cora whatsoever. They're very happy with Ron Renneke.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.